I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
As we watch Trump eliminate federal agencies, fire workers, and stop payments to Americans, a lot of people around the country and back home are asking, frankly, what the hell is the plan?
As Musk accuses one of the agencies he's trying to shut down of being a criminal operation, is Doge acting like a criminal operation, illegally accessing the private financial and health information of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or more, of Americans? As one of the Doge staffers is forced to resign, had written on a now-deleted social media post, "Normalize Indian Hate," we'll speak with Indian-American Silicon Valley Congressmember Ro Khanna, who knows Musk.
Trump and Elon Musk and their unqualified, unelected, unwanted henchmen want to be able to carry out their attacks on your environment.
Then we'll speak to the former head of the EPA's Environmental Justice Program, which is under attack by the Trump administration. We'll also talk to the former head of the Office of Personnel Management and Public Citizen about their lawsuits against Doge. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump's imposed sanctions on the International Criminal Court over its war crimes investigations against Israel. The executive order issued Thursday accuses the ICC of engaging in, quote, illegitimate and baseless actions targeting America and our close ally Israel, unquote. It also says the ICC abused its power when it issued, quote, baseless arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant over war crimes and crimes against humanity, reiterating, quote, the ICC has no jurisdiction over the United States or Israel, unquote. Trump's action coincided with Netanyahu's visit to Capitol Hill Thursday, where he met with leaders of both parties. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson said he was caught off guard by Trump's proposal and was awaiting details, but nonetheless praised it.
Look, there'll be more details forthcoming on that, of course. The initial announcement yesterday, I think, was greeted by surprise by many, but cheered by, I think, people all around the world. Why? Because that area is so dangerous, and he's taking bold, decisive action to try to ensure the peace of that region.
Human rights groups and many world leaders have condemned the United States for welcoming Netanyahu and refusing to serve the ICC arrest warrant against him. Reed Brody is a veteran war crimes prosecutor.
Well, of course, this decision was expected, but nevertheless, it's really threatens to undermine international accountability for the worst crimes and deprive victims all across the globe of justice. This executive order puts the United States on the side of war criminals at the expense of victims of grave crimes seeking justice.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gifted Trump a golden pager during their meeting at the White House, referencing Israel's deadly booby trap attacks on Lebanon in September, which killed dozens of people and injured thousands more when thousands of pagers blew up at the same time. President Trump is doubling down on his proposal for the United States to seize Gaza, saying the besieged territory would be, quote, turned over to the U.S. by Israel after it concludes its war. Trump made the remarks on Truth Social, writing, quote, the Palestinians would have already been resettled in far safer and more beautiful communities with new and modern homes in the region. They would actually have a chance to be happy, safe, and free. No soldiers by the U.S. would be needed, unquote, Trump wrote. The Wall Street Journal reported Pentagon officials have received no formal request to draft a plan for U.S. troop deployment to Gaza. Meanwhile, even some Republicans have come out in opposition, including Senator Lindsey Graham, who said other Senate Republicans oppose sending U.S. troops to Gaza. Residents of Gaza compared Trump's plan to the 1948 Nakba and the violent displacement of Palestinians from their land over the past decades.
I believe that this plan is destined to fail. Why? Because since the occupation of Palestine in 1948, this project has been proposed by occupiers and nations that support occupation regarding the issue of displacing the population of the Gaza Strip, but failed due to the steadfastness of our people in the face of this decision. Of course, the occupation will also fail in this war of extermination that began on October 7th, 2023.
Israel continues to violate the ceasefire agreement as Israeli soldiers shot dead two Palestinians, including a child, in southern Gaza on Wednesday. The White House says President Trump plans to keep only 294 staff at the U.S. Agency for International Development out of the agency's total of over 10,000 workers around the world, cutting the staff by about 97%. The remaining USAID workers would include just 12 in the Africa Bureau, 8 in the Asia Bureau. This comes after Trump earlier this week ordered nearly the entire USAID staff to be placed on administrative leave beginning today, and ordered thousands of personnel working overseas to return to the U.S. to the U.S. USAID distributed nearly $44 billion in aid during fiscal year 2023, about three of every five foreign assistance dollars worldwide. The Senate's voted 53-47 along party lines to confirm Russell Vogt, head of the Office of Management and Budget. Vogt is an architect of Project 2025, a radical playbook to seize executive power and to radically reshape federal agencies. Last year, Vogt told undercover reporters his plans for mass deportations, restricting abortion, gutting independent government bureaucracies, and using the military against racial justice protests. Vogt also said he would work to paint federal workers as villains and, quote, put them in trauma in order to drastically reduce the size of the federal civilian workforce. This is Democratic Senator Angela Alsobrooks of Maryland, who represents over 150,000 federal workers.
They are public servants in the truest sense of the word, who are not guided by party, not moved by vicious news cycles, but they are driven instead by mission. A mission to serve this country to the very best of their ability, under any president of any party. And in just 17 days, this president has put all of their livelihoods on the line. How shameless, how reckless, how callous, how depraved.
On Thursday, a federal judge temporarily blocked the Trump administration's so-called deferred resignation program, offering 8 months' pay and salary to any government worker replying to a mass email sent out by Elon Musk's Doge operation. The judge will revisit the case Monday. The Wall Street Journal reports 25-year-old Doge staff member Marco Elles, who gained access to the Treasury Department's central payment system, resigned Thursday after he was linked to a deleted social media account that advocated racism and eugenics and said, normalize Indian hate. In another apparent breach of sensitive data, CNN reports Energy Secretary Chris Wright granted a 23-year-old former SpaceX intern and Doge staffer access to the Energy Department's IT system. On his social media site, X, Elon Musk has threatened reprisals, including journalists, after Wired magazine named six of his young associates at Doge who are between the ages of 19 and 26. Meanwhile, the White House is preparing an executive order to cut thousands of jobs at the Department of Health and Human Services, including positions at the CDC and FDA. This comes after as several dairy herds in Nevada have just tested positive for a new variant of the H5N1 bird flu virus, raising fresh concerns of a spillover into human populations and a new pandemic. More than 1,000 people gathered for a protest outside the Treasury Department in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday afternoon, denouncing what they called a breach of secure information by Elon Musk and his young associates. The protest came as the Trump administration said it would close the Environmental Protection Agency's Environmental Justice Office and place 168 workers on leave. Meanwhile, lawmakers, including Arizona Congressman Yasemin Ansari, were denied access as they tried to enter the EPA's headquarters Thursday.
In Phoenix, last year we saw 143 days above 100 degree temperatures. Hundreds of people die on our streets every summer as a result of extreme heat. We also have some of the worst air pollution in the country that we're working to combat. And these attacks on the Environmental Protection Agency cannot stand.
In more Trump cabinet news, the Senate voted 55-44 Wednesday to confirm Scott Turner as Department of Housing and Urban Development Secretary, despite concerns his FBI background check had not been completed. Turner is a former developer and NFL player who's expected to slash the department's multi-billion dollar budget and overhaul affordable housing vouchers as well as programs for unhoused people. Turner's the only African-American member of Trump's cabinet. President Trump's nominated retired Brigadier General Anthony J. Tata, known for his history of Islamophobic and other racist remarks, to a senior Pentagon post charged with overseeing deployments. Tata once called President Obama a terrorist leader. This comes as the Trump administration on Tuesday evicted former Coast Guard Commandant Linda Fagan from her home with 3 hours' notice, without enough time to even gather her personal belongings. She's a four-star admiral and the first woman to lead a branch of the military. She was removed from her post on Trump's second day in office. Homeland Security Department officials cited Fagan's, quote, excessive focus on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. The Education Department has announced investigations against two universities and a high school sports league for allowing transgender athletes to compete in women's sports. The agency, which Trump has vowed to dismantle, will be probing the University of Pennsylvania and San Jose State University, claiming the institutions have violated civil rights laws over their policies supporting trans athletes in college teams. Meanwhile, trans rights activists are condemning the National Collegiate Athletic Association after its board voted to ban trans women from sports, caving to Trump's executive order, which directs federal agencies to withhold funding for schools that do not comply. The World Meteorological Organization reports January was the warmest since records began, reaching 1.75 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The January data was a surprise to many scientists, coming despite La Nina conditions that tend to cool the globe. On Sunday, temperatures at the North Pole soared above the freezing point of ice, reaching 36 degrees Fahrenheit above normal for the date. This week, staffers with Elon Musk's Doge operation entered the headquarters of NOAA. That's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, to access IT systems. They're also reviewing the agency's diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. NOAA's National Marine Fisheries Service has ordered its scientists to stop all contact with foreign colleagues and contacts, including on international treaties and seafood catch limits. Meanwhile, President Trump has nominated Neil Jacobs to reprise his role as acting administrator of NOAA. An investigation found Jacobs violated NOAA's code of ethics in 2019 after defending Trump's false claim that Hurricane Dorian would hit Alabama, the so-called Sharpiegate scandal. The California Public Utilities Commission has received video and data evidence strongly suggesting high-voltage transmission lines operated by the electric power company Southern California Edison were responsible for igniting the Eaton Fire, which killed 17 people last month as it swept through the historically black neighborhood of Altadena, destroying 9,400 homes, schools, businesses, and other structures. On Thursday, mourners gathered at First AME Church of Pasadena for a memorial service honoring fire victims. Community members and civil rights leaders are demanding the same federal resources for recovery that LA's most affluent neighborhoods are receiving. They're also warning against shortchanging by insurance companies. Joining the call is Zaire Calvin, who became separated from his sister, Evelyn McClendo, on January 9th as he evacuated the fire with his baby and elderly mother. He returned to find his sister's remains in the rubble of her home.
We want to be made whole. Black people always end up last. I'm just going to say it now. Yeah. We always end up last. Can we just be first in line in this?
This week, the insurance giant State Farm has asked California regulators to approve a rate hike that would see the average homeowner pay 22% more for their premiums. In 2023, State Farm said it would no longer accept new applications for property insurance in California. And last year, it cut 72,000 home and apartment policies across California, citing inflation and, quote, catastrophe exposure. And in India, lawmakers held a protest outside the parliament Thursday, outraged by reports that some 100 Indian immigrants from the United States were kept in shackles during a 40-hour U.S. deportation flight back to India, including during bathroom breaks. This comes days before Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is expected to meet President Trump at the White House. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Democratic ranking members of several House committees are calling for an investigation of potential national security threats posed by Elon Musk's Doge, that's Department of Government Efficiency. This comes as the Wall Street Journal reports a 25-year-old Doge staff member who gained access to the Treasury Department's central payment system resigned Thursday after he was linked to a deleted social media account that advocated racism and eugenics. In another apparent breach of sensitive data, CNN reports Energy Secretary Chris Wright granted a 23-year-old former SpaceX intern and Doge staffer access to the Energy Department's IT system. In a letter Thursday, Democratic lawmakers urged action to stop Doge by Deputy Inspectors General at the Treasury Department, the Office of Personnel Management, the Department of Education, the U.S. Agency for International Development, the General Services Administration, and the Small Business Administration. Also Thursday, House Democrats with the Congressional Progressive Caucus demanded Musk be fired from his role in the Trump administration. This is Congress members Nydia Velasquez, LaMonica McIver, and First Progressive Caucus Chair Greg Kutzar.
And today we're here to say with one voice, fire Elon Musk. An unelected, unaccountable billionaire now has seemingly unlimited powers over Americans' private data and over Americans' taxpayer dollars.
Do you trust Elon Musk with your most personal financial information, tax records, your social security numbers, your financial security? I don't trust Elon Musk with this information, and I know the American people don't either.
He is trying to puppet master Trump's decisions about everything: women's bodies, immigrants' futures, our kids' education, government funding, on and on and on.
This comes as Republicans on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee blocked an effort by Democrats Wednesday to subpoena Elon Musk to appear before the panel to face questioning about his ongoing overhaul of the federal government. Our next guest, Democratic Congressmember O'Connor of California, represents Silicon Valley, has called on tech billionaire Elon Musk to be held accountable, but was absent from Wednesday's vote because he says he already had a scheduled meeting with Mexico's ambassador to discuss Trump's tariffs. Ro Khanna posted on X, quote, "I would have voted yes. They called a procedural vote without notice, and I, like eight others, didn't make it there on time. Musk's attacks on our institutions are unconstitutional. He should be subpoenaed and answer to our committee. They should call the vote again with notice," he said. For more, Congressmember Ro Khanna joins us from the Cannon Rotunda at the House building on Capitol Hill. He represents Silicon Valley in California. Congressmember Khanna, thank you for joining us again. If you can start off by talking about, well, what happened, the possibility that Elon Musk would have been called on the carpet, or at least before your committee, and what you're calling for now.
Well, I'm calling for him to be subpoenaed and come before the committee. I put that statement out about 10 minutes after they had the vote and then went to the committee and spoke out about it. And Elon Musk responded, "Don't be a dick." And we went back and forth on Twitter. But the reality is that he needs to come before the committee. I actually had said when DOGE was created, as you know, that if there's wasteful spending in the Pentagon or if he can expose wasteful spending, then I would work to look at that, as did Bernie Sanders, as did Elizabeth Warren. But what he's doing now, which is stopping payments, is unconstitutional, and he needs to come before the committee.
This is Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speaking on Instagram Live Monday in a message to fellow Democrats in the Senate.
No Democrat should be voting to advance Trump's nominees while all of this stuff is going on. There has to be a political price to pay, and we have a responsibility as a party to block everything that is happening while they're setting a literal match to the federal government and giving 19-year-olds classified access, potentially classified access to the U.S. Treasury Department. So we need to start blocking every single procedural advancement on the Senate side in order to do that.
Your response, Ro Khanna, do you support what AOC is saying?
I do think we should be putting holds on the nominees like Brian Schatz has at the Secretary of State appointees, and that is because of USAID. And I do think we shouldn't be voting to confirm these nominees. But beyond that, the House actually has a lot of power. I mean, the House gets to vote on the debt ceiling. The House gets to vote on government funding. And we should make it very, very clear that until there is an ironclad agreement that everything that the House appropriates and authorizes will be dispersed, we will not vote to increase the debt ceiling. We will not cooperate with Donald Trump on any of the agenda. And I think that will get Trump to fold.
So let me ask you about this DOGE youth committee, this youth team of Elon Musk, ranging in age between, what is it, 19 and 26. You have senators not being allowed stopped by police by going into the Treasury Department, et cetera. But these young guys are going in, and word is, setting up computers that are downloading servers. The Wall Street Journal reports that the 25-year-old DOGE staff member Marco Elez, who gained access to the Treasury Department's central payment system, resigned Thursday after he was linked to a deleted social media account that advocated racism and eugenics. Among other posts, he said something like, "I was racist before it was cool. You could not pay me to marry outside my ethnicity and normalize Indian hate." In reference to a post noting Silicon Valley's large Indian community. In June, the account also advocated for the annihilation of Gaza, writing, "I would not mind at all if Gaza and Israel were both wiped off the face of the earth." He worked for Musk at SpaceX and later X. You're an Indian-American Congress member from Silicon Valley. So he was forced to resign. But this is this small team that is allowed to move in and have access to what could be what? Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of workers and just in general Americans' most private economic and health information?
Well, his comments obviously are outrageous. It was totally appropriate that he was fired. I will say, just representing the Bay Area and Silicon Valley for almost 9 years now, that that sentiment is not reflective of the vast, vast majority in the Bay Area. There are other problems, believe me, with tech lobbying and overreach, but his comments really were appalling, and I'm glad he's out. The broader point, though, is that no DOGE employee should have access to any of American sensitive confidential information, and they should not have access to be able to stop payments. Now, my understanding is just yesterday, the Treasury Secretary said that they will not have that access and they are not going to have any control over the payments. That, in my view, is because we have pushed back so hard on what's going on, not members of Congress or senators, but the American public, and the administration is taking note. So we need to continue to push back against this completely unconstitutional effort.
Would you say it's fair to say you know Elon Musk well? Can you talk about your exchanges with him?
Well, I've known him. I wouldn't say, you know, well as relative, but I've known him since 2010 or 11, after when I was in the Obama administration. Of course, he was a supporter of President Obama, and he blurbed one of my first books, which I talked about bringing manufacturing back to America. We always had a disagreement about Tesla's unionization. Tesla's in my district. I have been a very vocal advocate that they should be unionizing, that they should be using union labor. But other than that, I said, you know, would discuss with him renewable energy, discuss with him issues of climate, discuss with him issues of China. And believe that in many ways he was a very, very strong technology entrepreneur. But it has really been disappointing and concerning to see the overreach and the unconstitutional actions. There's just no justification for that. And I've said to him directly, I've said, if you believe that you found fraud, you found waste, you found an exposed abuse, bring that to the American people, bring it to Congress. But you can't make those decisions unilaterally.
I wanted to go to a Mother Jones interview you did in December when you said Democrats shouldn't write off DOGE, that they should work with Musk. Do you still believe that at this point?
Well, no, not. I mean, look, what I said then, I stand by, which is that the defense budget is bloated. I am often the only vote against a $1 trillion defense budget, that the five primes have too much power. And if Musk is talking about making the Defense Department more competitive or looking at wasteful spending in the Pentagon, that we should have engaged him. But at this point, until there is an ironclad commitment that he is going to come to Congress, that he is not going to stop payments arbitrarily, even payments to the Pentagon arbitrarily, obviously we can't work on anything until then. There has to be first a clear commitment to the Constitution.
So there's been a lot of criticism of Democrats around their inability to challenge Trump's agenda right now and whether the courts ultimately stop it. Who knows how many federal workers there will be left. Can you talk about what you feel needs to happen at this point?
Well, one, we need to be willing to speak out and speak out clearly and face the consequences. Obviously, I spoke out very, very forcefully on the Oversight Committee hearing. It elicited a response from Musk. But we need to stand up clearly, all of us, and say this is unconstitutional. We are going to stand for the separation of powers. You can't unilaterally stop payments. You can't unilaterally fire federal workers. Second, we need to show that we have a plan, that we're not going to raise the debt ceiling if they continue to do these kind of antics. That vote is coming up in March. We know President Trump follows the stock market. We know President Sheinbaum and Prime Minister Trudeau actually stood up to his bullying on some of the irrational tariff policy on foods because he saw that the market was going to fall. We can do the same thing with our leverage in the House. And finally, we need to show up everywhere. Show up on your show, show up on podcasts, show up outside with federal workers to show and stand in solidarity. I do think, Amy, there is a movement now which is pushing back. We did not have that for a couple months. I acknowledge that. But the Democratic Party in this last week has had a new energy and a new resolve to stand up.
To get your comment on the reopening of Guantanamo for migrants, already the first plane load of migrants sent to Guantanamo, you have Kristi Noem, the new head of Homeland Security, already going there.